Glory to God. Amen. He's the miracle-working God, and He's our God. Blessed be His everlasting name. Father, we are thankful that You are our God. We're thankful that You're jealous over us. You watch over us. You protect us. You enrich our lives with Your goodness. And tonight, we just want to say thank You. Thank You for the wonderful privilege that You've accorded us, O God, to call You Father, to call You Lord. The wonderful privilege to have access into Your presence. Blessed be Your holy name forever, Father. Thank You for what You're going to do in our lives today. How, Lord, You're going to speak to us tonight. How, Father, You're going to impact our lives tonight. And Lord, O God, that which You begin, You always complete. For You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and everything in between. Blessed be Your holy name, Most High. Thank You for Your loving kindness and tender mercies. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for every one of you here tonight for this special time of experiencing God together. Last Friday, during the prayer meeting, the Lord spoke to me and said to me, He said, Sunday night you're not going to be speaking. I said, who's going to be speaking? And He told me who was going to be speaking. And it's a good thing. Not that I could not. But the interesting thing was something happened that I've never experienced before, I don't think. That for 30-something hours, I've not really slept. Because the message from this morning was just rolling in my head over and over and over again, and was just, I couldn't get rid of it. So before I knew it, it was the AM, 5:30, I was up, because that's my regular time of getting up. Extra information that you don't need. I was here very early, did a hospital visitation, got home and came back. And after service this afternoon, I was out again. And when I looked at my watch, I thought it was still 4 o'clock. It was 6. I said, it's time to go back to church. It dawned on me, God, You're so good. He knew I needed to just sit down and be quiet and hear. So tonight, the chosen of the Lord to speak to us is Minister Reuben Adeoye, and I would like to invite him to come and give to us the word of the Lord tonight. Let's welcome him with a good glory and peace church shout of praise. Hallelujah. Please, your mic. God bless you.
Amen. We thank God for the grace to be in His presence and for the grace that he has given to us to stand here this evening. It is not by power. It is not by might. It is by his grace. I appreciate the grace that the Lord has given to me and for the opportunity our Father has given to me to stand before the Church of God tonight. Once again, before we continue, I just want to say a word of prayer. Father, once again, we want to thank you for this marvelous mercy, grace, and the privilege you are giving to us to be in your presence. There are diverse occurrences in the world, but you keep us safe in your hand. And you make it possible for us to come unto the throne of grace, whereby we can receive your mercy and grace that is needed in time of need. Thank you for the availability of your grace to us and for the access to your presence through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we appreciate you because you are the word of life. Oh, we give us life every day of our life till we see you in eternity. And we know that the word that you will speak to us tonight will bring life to us, our spirit, our soul, and our body. And we thank you, O God, for your purpose and plan for every one of us, which shall come to pass. Father, we glorify your name. As we continue in your word, Holy Spirit, you help us, you quicken us, you speak through us, and you give us the understanding to hear your word. You open our eyes that we may see a new thing even from your word. Father, we thank you because it is done. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, we welcome everybody to the evening service. Let's turn our Bible to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, from verse 25 to 26. Lamentations, chapter 3, from verse 25 to 26. It said, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." He said, "It is a good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." He said, "The Lord is good unto those that wait for him." Every day we use a slogan, "The Lord is good." But this passage is telling us that the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. There's another version of the Bible. It said, "The Lord is good to those who hope in him." And the NIV said, "The Lord is good to those who depend on him." If the Lord is good, one, we need to wait on him. We need to hope on him, and we need to depend on him. These are the three things that we make us to see the goodness of the Lord. There are things that is happening in the world, in the news, that make the people to be saddened. There's no joy, there's no peace. But for us, the child of God, we need to wait upon him to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We need to depend on him, and we need to hope on him. These are the three anchors that will make us to see that the Lord is good. For somebody that want to, maybe they want to fly from one country to the other or from one place to the other, we need to wait on the instruction of the hostess and the pilot. When we are talking about waiting, there are different types of waiting. It may be serving the Lord. If we are in a restaurant and we just sat down, a waiter will come with a list, hand over the list unto us. Then we scan through the list. We say, okay, can I have this and this? Immediately, the waiter will go and make sure within few minutes, bringing back what we are desiring. So when we are waiting upon the Lord, it means we need to serve the Lord. The Lord is good to those that serve him, to those that wait upon him. If we want to see the goodness of God, we need to serve him. And the Bible says it is good to serve the Lord, even in our youth. We are all youth, because none of us has ever reached 969 or 930 that Adam. It means we still have hope. We have vision. We have strength. We have power to do what? To serve the Lord. So it is good to wait upon the Lord. It is good to serve the Lord. There are many people in the Bible that serve the Lord. There was a woman in that Luke chapter 2 called Hannah. Hannah hear about the prophecy of the salvation of the Lord that God is going to bring unto Israelites. And another man called Simon, he also heard about the prophecy. The Bible calls it consolation of Israel. It means the fulfillment of the prophecy that a Messiah is going to be born, and this will save them from their sin. But these two people, Simon and Hannah, they were waiting upon the Lord, serving the Lord. The Bible said that woman served the Lord. She lived with husband for 7 years. The rest of her life, she was serving the Lord in prayer, in fasting. Simon also was serving the Lord in the service of the Lord until they received the fulfillment of the promise, until they see the goodness of the Lord. He said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. In that Luke chapter 2, let's see the example of waiting in service by Simon. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. 25. Thank you. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. This man had been waiting upon the Lord. He was sincerely, faithfully serving the Lord. The same man was just, devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. His service to the Lord, he was waiting when God will fulfill the promises. Serving God faithfully, devoted his time, his life, in everything to serve God so that he can see the fulfillment of this promise. He said he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It means in his service to the Lord, he was full of the Spirit of the Lord. There is no time that he was dejected. There is no time that he was frustrated. The Spirit of God was energizing him. He was strengthening him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death. That is, as he's waiting upon the Lord said, in your presence, the promise shall be fulfilled. He should not see that before he has seen the Lord. He's serving the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. And God is assuring him, since you are faithful, since you are devout, since you are just, this shall come to pass in your presence. And as the Lord has said it, the prophecy came to pass in his presence. The day the prophecy will be fulfilled, the Holy Ghost told him, oh yeah, go into the temple. Today is the fulfillment of the prophecy. You are going to see that child who will bring consolation, who will bring salvation, who will bring deliverance, who will bring my word to Israelites, and enter into the temple. The same day, that woman, Hannah, also entered into the temple. So, he said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. When we are waiting on the Lord, we are not wasting our time. We cannot know the numbers of days or months that Simon was waiting, but he received the promise of God. In diverse ways, we have been waiting unto God. Surely, we shall receive the fulfillment of the promise of God, even in the land of the living. He said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. I said, there's another verse. He said, the Lord is good unto those that depend on him. Waiting, depend, relying, trusting in him. There are many things we trusted in this part of the world. For our finances, we trusted in the bank, we trusted in our credit card, we trusted it. But the Lord is good unto those that depend on him, on God, and not on physical things. Trusting. The chair you are sitting down, you trusted that it can sustain your weight. That is why you sit down, you relax. But if you are doubting that if I sit on this one, I may fall, you will not likely sit down. Likewise, he said, the Lord is good unto those who trust, rely totally on God, that no matter what comes, God is with me. David is a man that trusted in the Lord. Whenever he wants to fight a battle or he wants to do anything, he will ask from the Lord. He will not take any step or do anything without asking from the Lord. And why does he depend on the Lord? He knew that the wisdom of yesterday is not sufficient for today. The wisdom of this hour is not sufficient for the next hour. Then he will approach God. And he knew that there are challenges, battles that he needs to confront and that he needs to overcome. Thereby, he will ask God, God, should I do this? There was a time he was in a battlefield. Coming back home, he made the house empty. They have looted his house, all the wife, everything. He was dejected. What should I do? Likewise, we may be experiencing one thing or the other. One situation, one circumstances. Satan may be whispering unto us, is the Lord good to you? Since all this year, is the Lord good to you? But David encouraged himself in the Lord. He go to the word of God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Okay, bring me effort. Lord, should I pursue? God said, pursue. you will overtake. You will surely recover whole. Immediately, he started to pursue. And he recovered all. He brought back his wife and all every other thing that they have taken away from his town. Because he depended on God. That is why the Bible said, it is good to trust in the Lord than to trust in the men, in the princes. He said, some people trust in chariots. That is our five senses. What we can do, what we can see, what we can touch, what we can taste. Some people trusted in chariots. They rely in things they see, in things they can hear, in things they can touch. But he said, we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. So when we trust in the Lord is good. Then we will experience his goodness. I'm talking about David. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18. There was a battle that David wanted to go with Philistine. And this is a man of war. He knows the strategies of war. He's strong and valiant. But he doesn't depend upon his ability or his army or anything that he has. This man now has to approach God. He asks God. And God gave him a strategy. In that chapter 5, verse 18. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephim. And David inquired of the Lord. He saw the battle. Like most of us, we saw what is before us. The challenges, the situation. We saw what is happening to us. We look at our health. We look at our environment. And it makes as if, what shall I do? Just rest. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistine without deliver them into my hand? Two things. Shall I go? Will you deliver them? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into thy hand. That's an assurance. He depend on God. And God said, surely go. We may not have an effort or anything, but we have a sure word of prophecy, which is the Bible. When we receive the rhema word of God from the Bible, it will answer to any situation, any circumstances, anything that is challenging us. This man of God said, the Lord said unto David, go up, I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into thy hand. God is telling you, just I will deliver your health. Your health that has given you challenges. I will deliver your head. You will have a sound head. Your situation that is like Philistine, he said, go. Confront the situation with my word. Then I will deliver. And David came to Bel Parazim. And David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies. That's a testimony. He started giving testimony. Praise God. The Lord has brought forth upon my enemies before me as the bridge of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Like, at times, some people will come for ministration. The man of God will pray for them. Hey, thank God I received my healing. Thank God I am delivered from nightmare. Thank God I have a sound sleep now. Thank God my health is restored. Thank God for this, thank God for that. But the enemy will say, are you sure? And there they left their image. And David and his men burnt them. Everything, burnt them. And the Philistine came up yet again. This is the place we also need to trust in the Lord. The Philistine came up yet again and spread themselves in Valley of Rephid. You know, the same place they came again. Maybe what we have been experiencing before, that we have given the testimony, now showing off. These are the Philistines. And David did the same thing. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. Now we are expecting. Maybe the first time we were prayed for, and the man of God told us, you are healed and you receive your healing. And when Satan also showed up again with his challenges, hey, man of God, you must lay your hand on me. But he said, you are healed. Go forth. But he said, no, but the headaches is coming. Something is coming. This is what happened. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Now, instead of you to say, okay, unless they lay hands on me, unless this thing happen unto me, there's another strategy that God wants you to use. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of Egypt and the Philistine. When you hear the sound, the first time they went, they fought. But this now, they need to listen to the direction of God. When we depend on God, then we need to listen to his direction. God is not a one-way traffic. This is the way he does it yesterday. He will do it today. He will do it. No. Diverse of way. Diverse of way. That is why we call him God. God is the way I want to take. He said, no. Take this way. This way is not good. It's rough. It's not smooth. This is very smooth. It's tight. It's paved. He said, take this. The moment we yield to the direction, the leading of God, then we will find that the Lord is good. Immediately, this man now hearkened. And David did so as the Lord has commanded him. As the Lord has commanded him, he hearkened to the direction. He followed God's leading. He followed the dictates of God. He walk in the map of God. Just go around and listen to the sound. He was attentive. And thereby, he was able to see that the Lord is good. And smote the Philistine from Geba until thou come to Gezer. He smote them. As we also, if we continue to depend on God, what has been a challenge unto us? If we can follow his direction, follow his leading, follow as he's leading us. That passage said, Matthew 11, 20, it said, Christ, we come under his feet. Then take my yoke. If he, step by step, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take upon you my yoke. So one step after the other, one step after the other, then we will see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Waiting unto the Lord, like Brother Moses or Prophet Moses, Moses was a mighty man throughout the Bible, both New and Old Testament. Most of the religions also recognize him. Why? He adopted this principle of waiting upon the Lord. He will ask God, what do you want me to do? Do this. What you want, even a little, tiny thing, he will ask God. There was a time they come unto him, give us a... He said, let me go and ask God. I will come back and give you reply. He will not give them reply if God has not. And this man of God, God now gave him a mighty project. Mighty project. To build a tabernacle. What they have never built in their generation. Even right from the time of Abraham. God said, I want you to build a tabernacle. It shall be a sanctuary whereby I will dwell with you. And they are just coming from a slave for almost 430 years. How are they going to accomplish this thing? God said, don't worry yourself. Basically, this, I've put my spirit in them. Every way they are going to do it. But one thing, do it according to how I show you. You must depend upon my dimension. Don't subtract, don't add, don't multiply. If you follow it, you will see that it is done. And Moses depended on the God. Exodus chapter 25, start from verse 1. Exodus 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. This is God's strategy. Speak unto the Israel. Somebody that is just coming from a slave land, they have not been working, they are not, but they all depend on God. Just speak to them. Moses doesn't query God and said, God, you know, we are a slave for all these years. How are we going to do it? But he followed the direction, the leading, the instruction that God gave unto him. Speak unto them. Tell them that they should bring an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. Tell them you must bring it willingly, not grudgingly. Bring your offering willingly. With his heart, he shall take my offering. Tell them, if you are not willing to give, just because I want to work, either with few or with multitude, I want to work. But just tell them, bring this. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them. Gold, silver, and brass. Gold, silver, and brass. And blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's ear and ram's skin dye red and badger skin sheeting wood, oil for the light and for sweet incense. God knew what he wanted to put in his tabernacle. Then he was asking them to bring the materials that is meant for the tabernacle. Oxen stones. To be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make a sanctuary. That's where God is going. All these things, what I want to bring out is, I want to make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I want to dwell among them. According to all I shewed thee. Do you see? God has given him a blueprint. that he needs to follow. And God is now giving him a direction to accomplish this blueprint. According to all I showed thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instrument thereof, even so shall ye make it. Don't change anything. As I've shown to you, then you do it according to the pattern. So, for us to receive a mighty things from God, we need to do like this man. Depend on God. In our business, we want God to move. Depend on God. In our life, for a sanctuary to come, because our body is also a tabernacle of God. The Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, it says, ye are the temple of Holy Spirit. It means God wants to dwell in us like he's dwelling in the tabernacle. And when Moses finished the tabernacle, what happened was that every day the glory of God rested upon the tabernacle, day and night. They saw it in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire at night. One thing that amazed me, when King Solomon became a king, he went to Gibeon. We are this tabernacle. I've read it before, but while I was looking at it on Saturday, I said I will ask. Because when the temple was destroyed, did they also destroy the tabernacle? But because that tabernacle still stand until the time of King Solomon. It is there that Solomon took his people to sacrifice. It's a sanctuary. God said, I want to dwell with you. Our life is a sanctuary of God. God wants to dwell in us. The sanctuary has three compartments, majorly. The outer court, the inner, and the most holy. Our body also has three compartments, the body, soul, and spirit. And then God said, make a tabernacle. And the Bible told us that we are the temple of God. Paul said, he will share this tabernacle. He's referring to the bodies. That means ourselves, we are the tabernacle of God. And God wants to dwell with us. God wants to move in us. But before God can do that tabernacle, if we read further, that tabernacle was sanctified. That tabernacle was consecrated. Thereby, the presence of God was there every day. And God wants us to be a carrier of his presence every day. To our place of work, to our home, to any places we find ourselves. But for it to be our body, we need to consecrate unto God. That is the area of serving, waiting upon him. My eyes will be used to see the glory of God. My ear will be open to the voice of God. My heart will be open to receive the knowledge, the wisdom that comes from God. My hand will be an extension of God's hands to heal. My feet will be to the preparation, moving, preaching the word of God. My tongue will be sanctified to speak the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God wants our tabernacle to be. The physical tabernacle that Moses built was so glorious that the presence of God come down upon the tabernacle. But our home body is superior to that tabernacle. Because God said, I did not dwell in a house made with man's hands. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to take total control of our life. He wants our body to be his own tabernacle. Therefore, we need to consecrate our tabernacle unto God. We need to allow God to sanctify, because he said, that tabernacle was sanctified by the glory of God. We need to allow God to sanctify our tabernacle. Thereby, anywhere we are, we will be a reflection of God. Our body system, do you know the one thing that happened then? Thank you. Howbeit, that is Acts chapter 7, verse 14. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temple made with hands, as said the prophet. So God wants to dwell in our own tabernacle. He wants to move in our own tabernacle. He wants us to be a representative of his glory, even on heart. As we consecrate, we sanctify our life, we allow the Holy Spirit of God, his word, and his glory to sanctify us, then anywhere we are, the people will see that the Lord is good. And I want to say something. I said, do you know that because of the presence of the sanctuary of God, the presence of God that is dwelling with the Israelites, he said, during those years in the wilderness, there is no feeble among them. That is, there is no weakling. There is no weakling among them. Because the presence of God was in their midst. And God is now telling us that it's not referring to the tabernacle, but he wants to dwell in each and each of us, every one of us. Now imagine, if the presence of God is in me, it's in you, it's in you, it's in you, it's in you. Now, just in the tabernacle, about millions of people, no feeble ones. Can we imagine how God will manifest his power, show forth his praises, show forth his name, even in our midst, in the congregation? It means when we gather together, we gather together in power. And when we go back to our different location, we are going out in power. Our territory, dwelling in power. Then, the consolation that we have been waiting for, manifestation of the power of God, the revival, the open house, everything we have been waiting for, we do what? With ease, it will come. God is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, God is good. He has not changed and he will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we need to do what? We need to believe. Believe in him. That hymn writer says, my faith looks up on thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. We need to believe in that Savior, that his word is yea and amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever. There was a sister in one of our fellowship. The moment the sun rises, and if she can walk in the sun, then she believed that something like she has to experience one type of sickness or the other. But I told her that That is not the plans and the purpose of God. You can walk either it is raining or sunning, and this is what God said. A son shall not smite thee by day, and by stripe you are healed. And she believed the word. And from that moment, God now gave her a victory. There are many things we have believed. We believe we are not secure. One thing happened last week. In the midst of the crowd, one woman was asking for somebody. He said, just walk through. He said, no, I cannot. So I now asked the person, why? He said, she's scared. In the midst of the people, we have believed in things that are supposed not to be. God said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. If you pass through the water, these things should be in our hearts. When we believe the word of God, then all this fear, we are going to put them aside. Some people, the Bible said, by stripes we are healed. Things that have been paid for. But he said, it's my sickness. It's my sickness has come. Were you born with it? No. Therefore, you need to reject it. This is the word of God. He said, by his stripes you are healed. By the time you begin to heart upon the word of God, you receive your healing. If you have been tormented in the dream, he said, the Lord give a rest, a sweet sleep to his beloved. Then you say, I am the beloved of the Lord, so I cannot have a nightmare. This is the word of God. I believe the word of God. The moment we come against Satan like that, he's going to flee. The Lord is good to those that trust in him. Now, there are benefits that we can receive if we depend or we wait or we trust on God. Psalm 27 verse 13 says, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, if you want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, we need to do what? To believe. To see the healing of God in our body, we need to believe. To have a blessing from the Lord, we need to believe. You need to believe that God can prosper you in his own way without stress. No 419, no dubious heart. God can prosper you. You need to believe that you can live a holy life by his power and grace, not rising and falling. You need to believe that your body can be a sanctuary unto God. We are God, we do it. Then, Psalm 104 verse 27. Before, Psalm 104 verse 27. Psalm 104 verse 27. At thy rebuke they fled, and at thy voice of the thunder they had hasted away. They go up to the mountain, they go down by the ways of the valley, unto the place where thou hast found them. Thou hast set a band that they may not pass over, that they turn not against to cover the earth. He sendeth the spring into the valley which run among the hills. They give drinks to every beast of the field. The white axes quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heavens have their habitation, which sings among the branches. He watereth the hills from the chambers. The heart is satisfied with the fruit of his work. That is what God can do. And if we depend on him, if we believe on him, he will do that for us. He watered the hills from chambers. The heart is satisfied with the fruit of his work. We cannot number the fruit of his work. They are numerous. Favor is part of the fruit of his work. Promotion is part of the fruit of his work. Sound mind is part of the fruit of his work. Strength is part of the fruit of his work. Healing is part of the fruit of his work. Deliverance is part of the fruit of his work. Salvation of soul is part of the fruit of his work. He said, it's numerous. So he satisfied the hearts with the fruit of his work. As we have come unto him today, let us know that if we can wait upon the Lord, if we can hope in the Lord, if we can depend on the Lord is good. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Shall we bow down our heads? Let's begin to thank God because of his goodness unto us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that an area we have been having challenges, like the Philistine that challenged David? Is that any area that we are experiencing the intervention of God in our life? Let's begin to tell God, God, I believe you are good to me. I believe you are good to deliver me. I believe you are good to bless me. I believe you are good to heal me. I believe you are good to help me. I believe you are good to favor me. Lord, show me your goodness. Shall we begin to pray? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you because you are good to us. Good to us, even to be living in us, to make us your own sanctuary, to dwell in us, to walk in us, to satisfy us with your kindness and goodness. Therefore, we ask, O God, we believe that you can bless us. We believe you can strengthen us. We believe you can help us. We believe you can heal us. You believe you can prosper us. We believe you are the Lord Almighty, who is able to do more than we can think. We believe in you. We are waiting, O God, for your goodness to lead us aright, to instruct us, O God, to make us to know how to receive your maximum of your benefit, maximum of your glory. Our faith looks up unto thee, O God, thou Lamb of Calvary. Our faith looks up unto thee, O God. We rely upon you. We trusted upon you because you are our strength, you are our power. We know you are able to do more than we can think or say. Thank you, Father. Father, we exhort you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
What a powerful word tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's a good thing. So just wait. Thank you so much for sharing that word with us tonight. Too many times we are hasty. We're hasty. The King Saul was supposed to wait for Samuel to come do the sacrifice. But he couldn't wait because the people were leaving. I got to do something. And he messed up. Too many times people mess up because they cannot just wait. Because you think things are not going to go well if they wait. It's going to be a lost opportunity. God is not restricted to time, natural man's time. And the word we've received tonight is so powerful. We need to wait. Just wait on the Lord. It is good that a man should both do two things, hope and quietly wait. Hope and quietly wait. How are you doing in that department? How are you doing in that department? Are you hoping? It's not just quietly waiting. You got to have hope. Hope. Hope is that thing that happens from the time you hear the word of the Lord to the time you receive the manifestation. The time between the time you heard and the time of the manifestation is the time of hoping. It's not a hoping that is aimless. It's a hope that is filled with expectation. You're expecting. You're expecting. It's not some broke guy that is telling you the check is in the mail. God is not broke. If he says he's going to do something, expect it. Quietly. Wait. And as he rightly said, that time of waiting is a time of serving. You're just serving. You're just continuing. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't give up. I've had so many times to give up in my life, but I found out something to be true. Whatever it is that was trying to make me give up was not real. Even though it looked real, smelled real, it was not real, because on the other side of hope is the manifestation. So I celebrate that word tonight. It was just as much for me as it was for you. Amen? Just stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. As he rightly said, when everything was lost in Ziklag, and even the people were trying to stone him, David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm not trying to preach a message again. I'm just reflecting. I'm just meditating on everything that he was talking about. Because that's so down to earth, real. And I thank you for bringing that word to us today. Did you know that David had gone to war with the Philistines against the Israelites? And then the Philistine kings said, we can have him fighting with us. He might turn against us when he sees his brothers. And they kicked him out. But it was a good thing, because his family was already been taken out. His town was burnt up. If he had not been kicked out and rejected by those people, his family will be all gone. And you think, oh, they rejected me, they rejected me. Sometimes the bad things that happen in your life are for your good. He got there just on time to find the embers were still burning. So don't take any disappointment as a bad thing. Change it from D-I-S appointment to T-H-I-S appointment. This appointment with God that I have. I'm going to wait on the Lord quietly. It's a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. Say it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, then it's not a bad thing. Let patience have its full work. That you be entire, lacking nothing. He was not in the service this morning. I guess he was working this morning. But his message was so perfectly aligned with what we're talking about this morning. In fact, he went into a scripture passage that I did not go into that is part of the message. Somebody say, God loves me. And God spoke to me tonight. And I'm going to let his work take full impact in my life. Hallelujah. Come. Stay there. No, just stay there. Don't be concerned about anything. Just allow God to take charge of the affairs of your life and of your family. Fortified by the Spirit of the Living God. Andorobo Shekata Yaba. I pull from you everything, every attack of darkness in the name of Jesus. Pull it out of you in the name of of Jesus. Let the grace of God sufficient fill you through and through even now. There is. There is. In the name of Jesus. Every addiction in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good. I don't have all day. Move it. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive your healing. Shikata In the name of Jesus, I remove from you now every blockage. Let your light shine brightly. In the name of Jesus.